It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Barclays and the U.S. Justice Department are engaged in a legal battle over the suspected fraudulent sale of mortgage securities a decade ago. But is there a settlement in the offing? They've reopened negotiations about an out-of-court settlement at the request of the London Bank, according to people with knowledge of the situation. Joining us is Professor Robert Hockett of Cornell University Law School. Bob, let's begin with the lawsuit itself. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the suit is in a certain sense kind of familiar, at least as far as the content of it goes, right? The claim is that Barclays quite cavalierly sold defective mortgage-backed securities to its various customers, and that it financed, the extending of mortgage loans to people who are very bad risks. So it's essentially a kind of classic sort of securities fraud type claim or wire fraud type claim, quite a great deal like many other such cases or suits that we heard about in the years past. What was sort of different about this one was essentially the sort of tardiness with which it was filed. This wasn't filed until last December and in the essentially the waning days of the Obama Justice Department.
Well, Bob, other lenders negotiated settlements worth tens of billions of dollars in penalties overall rather than risk litigation. Deutsche Bank paid $7.2 billion. But people familiar with the situation say Barclays was willing to pay no more than $2 billion to settle the matter, while the Justice Department reportedly demanded $5 billion. What are some of the possible reasons that Barclays preferred having the government sue it?
Well, there seem to be two possibilities, at least, that come to my mind. The first is that Barclays actually believed what it said at the time, which was that, well, look, we didn't do nearly as much of this kind of thing as the other banks did, and we certainly didn't do anything nearly as much as the American banks did. And so the kind of settlement that would be reasonable for us should be much lower than were the settlements for other American banks especially, but also other European banks, including Deutsche Bank. So that was one, I think. I mean, if they believed that when they said it, then that might be one reason. They might have been standing on principle. A second possibility is that because the suit in their case was sort of looming fairly late in the game, and by which I mean late in the time of the Obama administration, they might very well have been guessing or betting that they could actually do better with a Trump Justice Department in any event, because that department doesn't seem to have been quite as zealous about pursuing securities fraud type matters, although it must be said that the Obama DOJ wasn't particularly zealous about this either.
Barclays asked a federal judge in Brooklyn to dismiss the case this month. Now, in April, the judge skeptically urged Barclays to settle rather than request the case dismissal. So is that a clear signal or fairly clear signal that they're unlikely to win dismissal of the government suit?
Yeah, I think that's a very that's not a particularly ambiguous signal. Let's put it that way. And there was one other signal that came out as well, and that was that the Trump DOJ contested, right, that particular request, right, that particular motion to dismiss was contested by the Trump DOJ. And that itself might also have come as something of a surprise to Barclays, because, again, one leading theory, I suppose, as to what Barclays is thinking is that, or at least what they were thinking, is that they were probably thinking that they would actually, again, fare better under a Trump DOJ. And that doesn't seem to be happening for them. So they seem to be reassessing partly on that basis.
And Bob, the bank and its chief executive officer are also under scrutiny in the UK, the bank by the Serious Fraud Office and Jess Staley by the Financial Conduct Authority. What's happening there?
Well, that's still in progress, and you might recall we talked a little while back about other charges that have been brought against Barclays back at home by those UK offices. So Barclays has been implicated, and again, I have to stress that's not to say that they've been found guilty. But they have been implicated in a number of scandals in recent years. And so they're still, under active investigation in the UK, partly for mortgage fraud type matters of the kind that are the subject of the current DOJ negotiations, but also for other ones as well.
So have those lawsuits and the different situations Barclays is facing contributed to its decline in stock this year? And might that be moving Barclays also toward a settlement?
Well, yeah, and that's a great point, and I think that's another very important piece of the story here, right? So as you know, the stock, I guess Barclays stock, has declined something like 18% over the past year, in particular after yesterday, right, when they reported a significant decline in their trading revenue, I think 31%. So the fact that the firm is not doing so well in the market at the moment, and the fact that uncertainty looming over it when it comes to litigation, both in the UK and here in the US, on the part of actual law enforcement authorities, probably isn't a welcome situation for them to be in. And I'm sure at this point they'd be really happy to kind of get it behind them as quickly as they can, just to get rid of the uncertainty.
Always great to have you on the show, Bob. I appreciate your candor. That's Robert Hockett, professor at Cornell University Law School. Coming up on Bloomberg Law, the tech giants now occupy the top five spots in the ranks of the largest U.S. companies by market capitalization. But for the first time in decades, lawmakers are putting up some barriers.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.